Welcome to episode 2 of the Syncretist Society. I'm Alex Corey of cultivated-change.com and here with Danielle of soulmapping.life. Last week we went over an overview of Syncretist Society and the different languages and light languages and codes we're going to be discussing. And each week we're going to basically go over what's being presented to us that week and all the different ties in. This one is going to be about conditioning mostly and pressures.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, and what Alex was saying, how we are going to be going over like what's being presented, really it's about like the matrix, the programming, the codes, what the collective consciousness machine is like, putting pressure on all of us to extract and kind of the lessons of what we're learning. So currently Neptune is on the 36, which as we go further into the Syncretist Society and diving into what the planets mean and the codes and how to read the program, right? Or the program that is like kind of helping navigate the conditioning and the matrix and all that stuff. We're going to see how we can differentiate between what's us, what's the program, and what's being called forth. So Neptune on the 36, I had just pulled this up like right before we started. It's actually on the 36.1, which is called steadfastness. And it says to handle emotional crisis with steadfastness. And the potential of it is the emotional power to imperturbably persevere and handle crisis despite opposition. So before we pulled this up, I was like, let's do a call today on like, you know, being yourself despite what's going on, right? Because so often we have all these pressures, all this conditioning, expectations, what other people want from us, and we might have a different feeling going on inside about what is actually correct for us. And really this kind of encapsulates what Alex and I are doing as a whole with the different programs and teachings that we're going to be presenting. It's all about being able to be your full self, like no matter what is going on, like what the expectations are, what the conditioning is, right? So it might not even be conscious. It could be like physical, it could be coded, you know, different, you know, mechanisms between people. And one of the first things that we can look at with this is that when we understand that we're looking at the mechanisms of the universe, how humans function, how consciousness operates, how we interact with each other, the dynamics, all of this stuff, one of the first things to look at is that nothing is personal, right? It is coded, it's genetic, it's not personal. Right? But we like to create these stories. I do it too. Everyone does it to rationalize, right? Like the mind comes in and goes, well, even though the body and my form, my authority says, no, this isn't right. And your body's screaming at you. The mind is like, well, you know, we don't want them to think that we're rude or, you know, being ethical or moral, which that doesn't actually exist in the universe, right? The universe is not moral. It's not about good and bad. It's impersonal. So that's one of the first things that we can look at is that nothing is personal, right? Even if we think it is. So that's going to allow us to communicate our truth in a way that's you know, more accurate and give us the courage to kind of step forward and go, okay, this is actually what I'm feeling. And we can have grace with how we confront things rather than just taking the easy way out and not confronting things or like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. We're just going to let that slide. Or, you know, the whole group is going this way. So I'm just going to, you know, kind of tag along and go with the conditioning. So, yeah, you know, that's what we're going to be diving into today and just kind of going more into that. And I know, Alex, with you, like the whole food thing, yeah, nutrition, all of that is part of it.
From childhood, mostly. So that's the entirety of emotional eating, which is most people know what is good for them, how they feel after they eat something. But there's usually multiple events when you're a kid and some even small scale trauma, and people soothe it with food.
Right.
What your parents gave you to calm you down or to appease you, or birthdays, are all usually highly satisfying sweet things. Mine's chips. Always
barbecue chips.
Love barbecue chips. Yeah. Most people do cake, or it's usually mac and cheese. And it's because it's that combo.
Come on, you were supposed to bring that up. Mac and cheese.
It's the combo of salt, high fat, Quick sugar.
Jeez.
All of it. Yeah. And cheese is fills opiate receptors.
Right.
So that's why cheese is addicting. It's because it's actually addicting. Because
it's, like, amazing. Because
it's, yeah, it's a biomimicry to opiate, meaning it fills the same receptor, even though it's not an opiate. It's like, it's not a drug, but it's close
Pretty
enough
much.
Where it fills the same receptor in your cell.
Basically and, drugs.
Yeah, basically
yeah.
drugs. So that's the hardest thing to get over, especially when I'm bringing people. A lot of my recent clients have been having good success with that, which
yeah.
is really lucky on my part, just because I usually requires weeks of intentional deconditioning.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention to when that triggers. Did you just have a awkward communication with significant other? Did something not go right? And so you're just reaching for quick and easy because you always have, or most people don't intentionally go for ice cream. They want it if it's been a hard day, or obviously it's cooling if it's been a hot day outside. But if it's not aligned with most people's values whenever they're in a program. So it's interesting for people to start to decouple what's going on whenever they feel that.
Right.
In their brain. Very strange. And people will usually go back to, I remember this was the first time this happened. Or if people are stressed and your cortisol jacks up, that's a fight or flight. So your body wants quick sugar.
Right.
Like everything goes out the window if you're in a fight or flight. None of your hormones work. Well, your hormones work exactly how they're supposed to, but you're supposed to have that for 5 minutes when you're getting out of situation. But most people have that all day. So
yeah.
it's just something quick, something quick. So to some degree, it's not your fault, but the conditioning makes that happen more than it should.
Yeah, exactly. And what we were just talking about too, with everything like not being personal, mm-hmm. and whether it's food or emotions or any change that is going on in your consciousness or your body and things like that, it's actually all chemical,
right?
Like everything, even conditioning, we can break that down into a chemical process, a chemical shift that, you know, is activating a different system in your body. And even in human design, they say that food is the number one conditioning factor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're practicing with your strategy and authority, you can practice with food, right? So
mm-hmm.
if someone comes up to you and is like, hey, you got to try this, you know, because it is the number one conditioning factor, we already have that influence of like, oh, it's bonding.
Right.
It's like, you know, we want to share and connect with this food, which also has a lot to do with the 19, which we've talked about with the mutation coming in and that being cut off. We'll dive in more into that later. But, you know, following your authority with the food,
mm-hmm.
right? As it comes in, like, oh, you know, if my body's like, uh-uh, right? But your partner's like, no, come on, try it.
That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of the influences are coming. So that's,
yeah.
You might want it from your childhood. So now you have social dynamics in the moment at play. So there's a bunch of pressures depending on what other auras people have.
Right.
So those are hitting you if there's a penetrating aura around or something like
yeah.
that. Like I have that. So I can pressure people if I want to.
Yeah.
They feel that pressure on them, as I've come to know. All sorts of conditioning in that moment. So social gatherings, when you have a ton of different things that may not serve you and you're well aware of that, are the best place to practice and the hardest place to practice. If you can crack that, you win.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just like, no, I'm good. Or if you can find a way to politely say it, or better, if you're good 80% of the time by your own definition and you've built that resilience up and you're like, sure.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're just, it's trade-offs. Is it worth it? Maybe.
Yeah.
In that moment, but the pressure is always there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And there's something else like in the human design system that we've kind of talked about. It's called PHS, or primary health system, because human design, again, is a formula. So we follow the strategy and authority that like aligns the vehicle. We look at the not self or the white areas, which is where all of our wisdom is. We align the psyche, which is how our mind processes the field. And then we fuel and heal the form, right? Or the body. So there's a difference between mind or psyche and brain, right? The physical and then the mental. So in everyone's chart, if your birth time is very accurate, you can see what your PHS is or your primary health system, your variables. So the mac and cheese thing, you know, I have taste, right? Yeah. Which is mine. So it's not as straightforward as like appetite or, you know, there's a lot of different ones that have to do with like temperature or thirst and different things. So, you know, especially if you have taste or any of them really, but, you know, what you eat is going to be based on the conditions and the frequency of the food and things like that. Even Ross says that if you eat according to your PHS, you could eat roadkill. And as long as it's in the right conditions, that you'll be able to extract out what's correct for you. You know, Shane and I were talking yesterday and he asked this question. He's like, isn't it weird? Like, what is this eating and like all this eating and like getting around the table? And it goes back to, you know, back in the day where we'd kill a big animal.
Yeah.
You know, and it would be like a ritual. Ceremony. Yeah. It would be a ceremony. Yeah. This is even where religion came from. You know, there was a lot to do with like offering to the gods and all of this. And so kind of getting back into understanding even like what the point of all of that is, like why we're eating and trying to eat to fuel the body, which I have not been great at this, you know, lately. It
comes in waves.
It really does, you know. And I notice like if I'm not exercising, which is also part of my chart, you know, I have the channel struggle, the 28-38. I also have the 21 in the ego, which is, you know, a lot about stamina. It's the heart and the lungs. So for me, I have to actually exercise a lot. And then with my PHS, I have to sweat because for me, it's all about the lymph and it's about liquid, lots of salt and movement in order to move it. So I notice that when I don't do those things, that it all kind of, everything kind of just falls off. So yeah, it's pretty interesting, but it all does come back to, are you in alignment? Are you in the right space? Are you around the right people? Because just like you were saying a minute ago, the aura types, right? They actually have different circumstances to eat from, right? So they say manifestors, you can pretty much do what you want, basically. Projectors.
I wish,
though. That'd be nice. I know. Projectors, it's because most projectors and the way that the aura is it's, you know, taking in and it's penetrating. So for projectors, it's always dependent on who you're around and if they really see the real you, right?
That makes a lot of sense. And okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
And like Alex's PHS, it's a lot about stimulation, but like being very calm, like he's not supposed to eat when he talks and not supposed to be like really... active.
Not playing
and,
on my phone. Not supposed to have a ton of...
electronics.
Stimulation. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard to be present with. No, almost, I don't know anyone that does that unless you're doing it intentionally because it's kind of just wasted time. Obviously, it's not because you're fueling your body and most people... I can definitely take 15 or 20 minutes and be with that act. But I don't because it's 15 or 20 minutes and I could be digesting other information. That's another addiction.
But yeah.
It's harder than it should be.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too because Richard Rudd, who also studied for a long time under Raw, he's the one that developed the Jinkies. Richard Rudd developed Jinkies, which is a whole other system of like the spectrum of consciousness through the codes, right? So human design maps all these codes. But anyways, he coined different terms for the aura types and... the projectors are the digestive life code, right? So I think manifestors are the proactive. I don't remember all of them, but I remember that. And
what is digestive life code?
Because you're digesting.
Oh, I see.
You know, okay. And that's the whole thing with the neutrinos, right? We've talked about this neutrino ocean, how that's what makes all these systems actually work, right? Is understanding that the neutrinos are what are delivering the information that we're digesting. Life, right? That's what we're doing. So it's like we need to do the same thing with food, with how we operate, with how we make decisions. And even Ross says there's no choice, which we'll probably do a whole call on that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not even up to us if we can follow any of this. So it just adds another layer. But, you know, again, it's all about having a unique experience, right? Whether we're in the not self, whether we're, you know, eating mac and cheese and brownies. I'm going to go hide in a corner. But really just like understanding that we're not supposed to always be in conditioning, right? It's a duality. It's a biverse. We have the conditioning and then we have the true self. So all the systems and what we're doing allows us to have that glimpse of what it feels like to be in your true self, right? Like your true alignment. So that you know, like when something comes in and, okay, I don't feel right about this. Like it just doesn't feel correct. Even though everyone around you, everything around you might be trying to get you to go into that not self, go into that conditioning, you know how to understand like, no, this is actually what's correct for me. And I'm going to stand in that even if there's all like, even if the whole world is saying no, you know, I'm going to be able to be in my own self. And that's really what busting out of the matrix or taking the red pill or really getting into alignment, right? Getting back to source, all of these terms. Right, that's really actually what it is like, can you stand in your own authority despite everything else? And if you're not able to do that, can you learn from it? Can you like find your truth from that? Like, okay, this is what conditioning is. Okay, my body feels weird right now. I'm having a hard time. I'm feeling that all this pressure and conditioning, and that then you can analyze like, why am I not able to speak up for myself right now? And then you can kind of go back into that, and at least the conditioning will teach you. And so the next time, maybe then you'll be able to stand up and realize, oh, it's not that scary. People actually respect me. I'm not going to get as much pushback as I thought. Or even if I do, I can handle it.
Yep.
Right? It's not going to be the end of the world. Right? You feel better. You feel empowered because you didn't betray yourself. Right? Like you stuck with yourself, and by doing that, you're teaching other people that they can do the same thing. So I find that people respect you more.
Mm-hmm.
And because you've respected yourself, right?
That's the basis of integrity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You cannot respect anyone else, or you, no one else, if they can tell you don't respect yourself and you don't follow through on what you said you were going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's massive. And that's what self-efficacy is in coaching. It's instilling trust within yourself. So it's, if I set something, the likelihood of knowing how, the probability of me actually being able to follow through, and that's a self thing, and that's sort of the starting point, is if you don't trust yourself because you've set goals in the past,
yeah,
and you're just like, I didn't meet those, getting small wins under your belt to be like, no, I can actually do this, and I will actually do what I say I'm going to, is the starting point. And if you build momentum on that, it happens quickly,
right?
And you can start jumping to bigger things. But yeah, integrity in yourself is sort of the foundation of just your faith in yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of that too from people, because you know, that's what strategy and authority gives you, is like how to really trust yourself too, you know, because a lot of people, they're like, well, I don't know if like this is the right decision or that one. And all of us do, even though I've been doing this for 10 years and I, you know, have studied psychology and all of these things to try to know myself and others. There's still moments where it's like, wait, is this the right decision? You know, and it's not always easy, but I always come back to my authority, like, okay, what is my sacral saying, my gut, my, okay, because I know deep down, right? And a lot of times if we're questioning it, unless you are emotional authority, because you're always going to be questioning it, you know, if you're kind of like, I'm not sure, most of the time it's probably not the right decision, right? It's like, okay, you're in the mind, you're not actually following your body anymore, you're pulling in some sort of facts, you know, logic or emotional story to try to make your decision, or seeking others' advice when you already have the answer inside. Right? It's already there. So all the stuff that we're talking about and what we aim to bring to everyone is how we have learned to navigate that for ourselves, and how to make sure that, like, okay, I know with conviction that what decision I'm making is the correct one for me. Right? And it doesn't matter about all these circumstances and all these things, that this is correct, right? Like for me. And to be able to deliver that like gracefully,
yeah,
because we're not heartless, okay? You know? Of course not. But it's like being able to communicate truthfully and be transparent, be as authentic as possible, even with our faults. And you'll see in the calls, like, trust me, I have a shit ton of faults. I never even know what's going to come out of my mouth fully. Yeah. So I'm going to cuss. I'm going to say stuff that's probably inappropriate, whatever. But, you know, yeah. It's just being ourselves and doing the best we can and being able to communicate, which is what the gift is of all of this. So, yeah, we'll be diving deeper into these topics. But for now, you know, the steadfastness, despite the opposing, energies that are coming in, is what the universe or the matrix, the program is trying to extract out of us, right? Like, there are a lot of opposing things coming in for all of us. And it's really about, like, okay, how can we, despite all of that, be in our truth and persevere and have compassion? Because the shadow is crisis, right? The gift of the 36, because it's the crisis is the inexperience, right? That is the mechanism of what we call the fates. And it's basically comes from expectation that you entered into something because of desire, the expectations and everything is all different. Then we enter the fates, right? Which is like, everything is not how I thought it was going to be. And it is the mechanism that builds compassion, and it comes from crisis or the darkening, right? The darkening of the light is the 36, which leads to experience. It leads to being at the top of the mountain, looking forward and going, okay, I climbed that hill of the emotional experience, and now I have compassion because I know what crisis is. So whatever we're dealing with, whatever, opposing things we're dealing with, we can try to deal with it with compassion for ourselves and for the other and say, hey, I haven't been in this experience before. Right. I'm trying to navigate it. It's a lot for me too, but this is what my truth is. Thanks for respecting that.
You know. And from a purely utilitarian standpoint, it's kind of a form of self-loathing. So just people are extremely hard on themselves.
Yeah.
It's not helpful. It's right. just not useful moving forward. So it's a lesson learned, and that's all life is yeah. just lessons learned. And Jordan Peterson, if you try to decipher sort of some of the fundamental elements that we have, like memory. So if you're a neuroscientist or anyone, you're like, what's the point of memory? It's a silly question to hear, but from a, like, you only have a finite amount of gray matter in your brain sort of space. It's to extract anything that didn't help you die. So if you went through some right. serious trauma in your childhood or whenever, you had a pretty intense experience that's still there and dragging you back into the past, what is the point of that? Like, it's not helping you now. Except his theory is you haven't extracted everything out of that you could have to help you move forward. And once right. you do, it doesn't hold power over you. So it's... I actually just lost my train of thought.
It's what you're saying, though, is like when we have those patterns of the yeah. past and all of that and, you know, just leading us into the... Like, so from crisis, you know, and we can extract even from the situations we're all dealing with now, right. you know, because that's the point of the 36, is to realize our humanness.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? Okay. And that is what compassion is, right? So whatever we're dealing with that is difficult and crisis-prone and, you know, we're not experienced enough to deal with this right now, it's to show us our humanness and to be able to experience that. And we call this in human design the experiential way. And kind of like what you were saying, how the memory mm-hmm. is to help us to survive and, right. and to move forward. This pathway is a lot about, like, if we ate mushrooms, mm-hmm. right? And we saw, okay, this animal ate that mushroom and then they died. You know, we remember that. Yeah. And it's like, don't eat that one, right? These are good, not those. So that's what we call the experiential way, and it's okay. what leads to human progress, right? Like, to move through an emotional experience, right? To have all these different situations that we can all go through and enrich our lives and all of that. But, yeah, it's a darkening of the light right now, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of ways. And so whatever you're dealing with, you know, try to find the compassion within and compassion for yourself and for others, but still seeing your truth, right? I don't know if I was telling you this, but it might have been Amber that I was talking to, but we were talking about this time right now, and I was like, yeah, I'm getting a lot of lessons about, you know, sticking into my truth no matter what, you know? And so the way that I deal with it is through this, right? Like, I'm like, okay, just be more transparent, be more authentic. What are the lessons? What are the teachings? And that's how I process.
Yeah.
You know, communication.
What's the best way to process is just extract anything. And it's happening very quickly right now. Like every week seems heavy. Yeah, it's almost April. Right.
What the heck?
Weeks are just loaded with information and struggle and things we have to work through on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that's not in varying levels of turmoil where if you're on the outside, it's a little easier to see the lessons. You're just like, oh, when you come out of that, I'll be very interested to see how that changes.
Yeah.
You. And there's some ginormous shifts in people and other people just depending on the layers that are hitting them and all the different pressures, if that's from their family, if that's from people at work, if that's from their environment that's not getting a lot of sleep. So just all these layers eating, it's interesting to see resilience come from people and how they utilize. Some people are really good at picking that up, just useful information and just thinking about the next day and moving it. And that's what people tend to do, what I have to do whenever it's heavy like that. Shorten time, just next hour, next night, next day. Like
long one little step at a time
doesn't exist, right? Yeah. If you're in the shadow, it's make it through whatever foreseeable time frame you can, and then morning is always better for me, at least.
Yeah.
Like if I can make it to the morning, I have a full energy.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with the mutation coming in, like the 2027, moving to the cross of the sleeping phoenix, that we are in that process of where we're gonna have to be in the now, like you're saying. Like we can't necessarily like kind of take the energy of the now and project it like all the way into the future. It's like everything's kind of forcing us to kind of like look what's in your hands,
right?
Like just like what do you have on your plate right now, and like dealing with that, you know, with the cross of the sleeping phoenix, which is a global cycle, right? The background field, the turning of the wheel is happening. The 2034 is what is going to be part of the channel. The 2034 is the channel of charisma in when we look at the manifesting generator's channel, right? Connects the sacral up to the throat, and that is part of the sleeping phoenix, is being busy in the now.
Right.
And that's one of the channels of the cross, right? Of that time, of the ocean. That background energy is going to be there constantly. It's like, okay, I'm busy in the now, busy in the now, busy in the now. And that's like what's coming. You know, right now we're in the cross of planning is not in the now. You know, it's like, okay, we developed all these school systems, education, you know, food, health, governments, structures of life, how we have water, how we communicate, the internet, all these things since 1781 when Neptune was discovered by William Herschel, which by the way was yesterday when it was discovered. Oh, really? But in 1781.
Okay.
So it's like that whole period that we're in now is all about that, right? The planning. And we're at the very end of that. Like we zoom out of time. You can see like that shift is coming very quickly. And we've talked about this, how this darkening of the light, the darkening. And this is why we have this information now to be able to process it. So it's not just like being overcome by darkness.
Yeah, just a wave all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was in the last call I said that mantra, that quote that I was saying about the 61 and the 60, because that's where Pluto is right now, about energy mutation and adaptation to constraint.
Yes.
You know, so it's like the energy has to adapt to all the limitation and constraint and not be overcome by the darkness.
So for the type of person who is highly anxious, say, and just planning is what they do, what is, and this is probably different per person or per type, how can you be busy or focus on the present when you're conditioned to plan all the time?
Okay, so what I've realized for myself when it comes to your question about planning and all of that, because I'm a far left, you're a quad right. Mm-hmm. So left energy, you know, is all about like logic and planning and being active, and the right is passive and creative, receptive, just taking everything in.
Which is everything that I have never done.
Yeah.
Which is why it's very hard to slowly be with that and acknowledge that.
Yeah, be the soup.
Yeah, really hard.
So what I've realized for myself being a sacral generator is, and especially when we talk about strategy and authority, all this stuff, all the numbers, like get rid of all that. You know, what I've really realized is when you come down to it at the end of the day is your energy signature. So generators, satisfaction. Projectors is success. Manifestors is peace. Reflectors is surprise, right? So what has come through for me is like literally just honing in to that energy. Mm-hmm. So for projectors, rather than planning, follow the success in guiding others moment to moment. Like, where is that? Where is that success in being able to relay your channels, your gifts, you being a self-projected projector? Mm-hmm. For me, I'm trying to follow my satisfaction all day, right? Like, okay, I'm meeting a frustration or I'm meeting a resistance. Don't necessarily do much, but just like look at it and learn, right? Because it's through the distortion, the conditioning, which conditioning is not bad, but that's how we learn what our truth is, right? We can't see the light if we don't know where the darkness is. It's just all one thing, right? So following your energy signature of your aura and then using that strategy and authority to know how to get there. But that to me is like the truth of your authority is following your energy signature. So, you know, I play pool, play piano, garden, play with the puppies, like do my work.
Yeah.
And it builds my energy, right?
Yeah, so, that would all drain me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
So whatever your success is with others, you know, as a projector, that's what you follow to know your direction, right? And for you as a self-projected projector, it's like through your spontaneous communication that you hear like, okay, yeah, this feels correct for me, right? And these people around me recognize me. These people don't really recognize my gifts. Yep.
And know? I'll feel my voice, since I'm now paying attention, get a little shaky. And
yeah.
I was like, ooh, I don't like that.
You're right.
Or the weird one, I think this is also a Jordan Peterson thing, where the challenge is to not say anything that you know to be untrue in a day.
Yeah.
Which is the most difficult thing I've ever done. It's not necessarily a lie. It's just, do I actually know that? Or am I pulling it from somewhere and spouting it? And that's not fun.
Yeah.
Because before you actually say anything, you're like, I'm not sure that that's true.
You're right.
Because I'm pulling that from someone I heard, like a second source or a third source. So
yeah,
it's been weird just listening to myself over the last year even, where I have to stop myself a lot. Because it's like, I don't know where I came from.
Right, right.
So awkward.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably do a bunch of calls on communication and... Because there's a whole way, too, in the throat where each gate has a different voice. And, like, for you, even, like, your channels as a projector, things like that. But, yeah, I think that's good for today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot to digest. Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, everyone.